Well, have you ever felt like that God has blown you off? Maybe you've prayed about something, you've asked God for a specific answer, and the only response that you received was an icy silence? Maybe you felt frustrated with your prayer life, or you'd wondered, why is God not listening to me? You were praying for something, and you wondered, well, what is God saying, or what is God doing? Well, today we're looking at a passage that deals with a woman that had an extremely difficult scenario. She was facing overwhelming odds, and she decided to come to Jesus to find real answers. Today, this woman had a tenacious faith, and I like to call her the mother who would not give up. In fact, Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28 tells us this powerful story of a woman who refused to quit. She refused to quit. In fact, I want to read this passage from Matthew 15. If you want to grab a Bible there underneath your chair, you can follow along with where we're going. This story is actually recorded in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Matthew, but we'll be primarily looking from Matthew 15 at this mother who would not give up. Verse 21 says, "Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he came... A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession.' Jesus did not answer a word, and so his disciples came to him and urged him, 'Send her away, for she keeps on crying out after us.'" You know, get rid of her. In the verse 24, he answered, "I was sent only for the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. And he replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. We find an unlikely response from Jesus Christ talking to this woman who was destitute. I mean, she was desperate. Her daughter was possessed by a demon. And she realized the only person that could help her was Jesus Christ. Today we're looking at a tenacious faith that refuses to quit. And I want us to look at three particular things in this passage that deal with this subject of the mother who wouldn't give up. First of all, don't stop asking. You see, if you're going to have a tenacious faith, one that sticks to the game plan, one that is tough, one that is enduring, there has to be a mentality that says, I am never going to stop asking. Okay, don't stop asking. And in the Mark account, chapter 7, 26, it says she begged Jesus to drive a demon out of her daughter. So she's begging Jesus. And then in Matthew, it says a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. And my daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession," verse 22 says. And that word crying out in the language of the New Testament is a word that means she continued to cry out. So she's just pleading with Jesus. I mean, over and over and over again, she's just making her case to the Lord that he needs to intervene and heal her daughter. So she continues to cry out, and notice these words she uses, "Lord" and "Son of David," which were titles of the Messiah. They were synonyms. They were different names for Jesus Christ. And so she begins to call him all of these names. And in fact, the scripture goes on and it says she's falling down on her knees before Jesus. I mean, the woman is desperate. And she continues to ask Jesus to heal her daughter. Now, her daughter was not trying out for American Idol, okay? Her daughter was not in the Miss America pageant. Her daughter was possessed by a demon. I mean, there was a major crisis going on in this household, okay? And so the desperation, the level of desperation that this mother begins to express reveals the seriousness of this situation. Now, here's something that I've learned about in prayer. Prayer works the best when prayer is our only solution. See, sometimes we think about prayer as kind of like the back, one of many plans. You know, if that didn't work, I'll do this. I'll do this over here. If I ask God and, you know, he doesn't really answer that prayer request like I think, then I'll do all this other stuff. That's not the picture of this woman who comes to Jesus. She has one plan. And that one plan is that Jesus Christ is going to intervene and heal her daughter. And if that doesn't happen, she has absolutely no backup plan. And that's why she brings such a powerful, compelling request to the Lord. The woman in our story today thought, Jesus is my only hope. And when you take a prayer request to God, we need to ask ourselves, how long am I willing to continue to pray about this? And how much am I going to continue to ask the Lord to intervene here? How much am I willing to persist in prayer? Because the more consistent that we continue to pray and to ask God will ultimately reveal the level of his response to us. Jesus begins by just pushing this woman away and by kind of ignoring her. And we're going to deal with that in just a moment. But notice the persistence of this woman. She refused to be told no. And if this story kind of reminds me of a situation that I had yesterday. I took Zane, my little 3-year-old boy, to Walmart to purchase some stuff for the yard. And they didn't have what I needed, so we were going to leave. And as we were walking out of the gardening section, Zane noticed all of the bicycles. And his birthday's coming up in a couple weeks, and we've kind of been talking about, you know, what are we going to get him? We're going to get him a little bike or a scooter or whatever. And so I thought, well, that's cool. We'll just see what he likes. So I took him over there, and I put him on one of the real little bitty bikes, and he thought that was cool. But then he turned around, and he saw those big battery-operated cars. You know? And I mean, the bike was nothing, you know? Now, we had already budgeted. Gene and I live a very budgeted life. You know, we had a certain amount of money budgeted. We had bicycle money budgeted for birthday. But all of a sudden, he wanted one of these massive battery-operated cars. And I'm telling you, some of those things are pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty amazing, you know, pieces of machinery. We didn't have cool toys like that when I was little. And he noticed the big Jeep, and then he saw a John Deere tractor. Oh my goodness, he was totally fixated. And praise God, it was up on the shelf, because it had been on the ground. I think Zane would have driven it out of the store and tried to steal it. But it was up on the shelf, and he began to say, I want the tractor, I want the tractor, I want the tractor. Now his grandpa has a tractor that looks just like that. And so he wanted to have that tractor. And I looked and I thought, oh, that would be so cool. And I looked at the price tag. It was 4 times the cost of a bicycle. And I thought, oh my goodness, I was like, no, we're not ready to buy a John Deere tractor today. You know, I'm sorry. You know, we're not there yet. We live a very budgeted, you know, life. That's not kind of what we're doing. And he just started persisting. And then he started to make kind of a little bit of a scene in the store. You know, people are looking over at us like, what's wrong with that kid? I want that tractor, my tractor, my tractor. So I picked him up and I said, Zane, we have to go. And I was trying to get him into the car, and he started screaming and yelling even more as we were leaving the store, you know, And I'm sure somebody at Walmart probably thought I was abducting a kid, you know, because Zane was just screaming and yelling, I want my tractor, I want my tractor. So I put him in the car, and all the way home, he was screaming and yelling about how he wanted that tractor. And then I got him home, and he was crying, and he was doing the same thing. All he could talk about was that tractor. Well, I started thinking to myself, you know, I had a John Deere tractor like that when I was a little kid. That was a pretty cool tractor. I would really like for my kid to have that tractor. So I called Gina, and I said, Gina, I really want to get Zane that tractor, but it doesn't really fit the budget. She said, forget it. No way. But you know what? For a minute there, Zane almost had me talked into getting that tractor. And you know, the reason is because he wanted it so bad. And you know, every parent wants to give their kids what they want. You know, that's just part of being a parent. We want to see our kids have what they want, and we like that. That makes us feel good as parents to provide for our kids and to give them little things and provide for them and make them feel happy and all that stuff. Zane's getting a scooter for his birthday. Okay, he's not getting the John Deere tractor, but I really wanted to get that for him. You know, in that experience, I felt like I got a little glimpse of the heart of God, the Heavenly Father, who hears the request of his children and wants to surprise us and to bless us. You see, when we ask God just for things, you know, one or two times or on occasion, that tells the Lord the sincerity of our request. But when we continually, day after day after day, bring it to the Lord, and there's that passion and that commitment, and you know, we're on our knees and we're bringing everything we have in that request, what does that say to the Lord about what we really want? And that's a picture of this woman here. She just kept asking. And you know what? She wasn't going to take no for an answer. She was after Jesus Christ. Now, this Canaanite woman was of the Syrophoenician race. She was a woman that worshipped pagan gods. In fact, the Syrophoenicians practiced a child sacrifice, and they practiced all kinds of other deviant sexual practices and all kinds of wild stuff that they did when they worshipped their gods. And it's interesting that this demon possession may have occurred through the worship of some of these false idols and these false gods that the Syrophoenicians practiced. But in the New Testament, we find that people who were demon-possessed would often become violent. They couldn't speak. They were deaf. They were mute. They were deranged. People did some wild, whacked-out stuff in the New Testament when they were possessed by demons. The Bible doesn't give us the specific scenario of how this demon had affected this girl, but it was obvious that it was pretty serious, right? I mean, this was not just a casual request. And the sincerity of the passion of this woman reminds us, when we really want to see God do something in our lives, continue to ask, continue to pray, continue to press on, and refuse to quit. Now, how did Jesus respond? In verse 23, the scripture tells us Jesus didn't answer a word. The first response is Jesus just silent treatment. Doesn't say anything. I mean, here's this poor, pitiful woman. Jesus is just kind of, you know, just kind of quiet, not saying anything. And then she persists with him. And then Jesus comes back and he says a second time, well, you know, I'm only here for like the lost children of Israel. In other words, I'm just here for the Jews, and you're Syrophoenicians, so, you know, I'm not really here for you, is kind of what Jesus says to this woman. And in the meantime, the disciples are trying to get rid of her. You know, the disciples are like, man, leave Jesus alone. I mean, he's just performed all these miracles and done all this cool stuff. He's kind of tired right now, so can you just kind of leave Jesus alone? And it's interesting that the disciples begin to try to get to discourage her. And she kept asking, even though other people were trying to keep her from getting to Jesus. And she kept praying. And she kept praying and she kept praying. And then out of that, then the next step happens. Jesus says, well, you know, I came for the lost children of Israel. And then she starts to debate Jesus. I mean, she engages with him. And he replied, it's not right to take the children's bread and to toss it to their dogs. But then she comes back in verse 27 and she says, yes, but even the dogs eat the crumbs of the master's table. She says, Lord, just let me have a little crumb of the table. I'm not even asking for the whole piece of bread. I mean, I'll just take the crumbs of the table because the crumbs of the table are better than nothing. And Jesus is he kind of perks up and he kind of thinks to himself, well, wow, I mean, this woman is serious. I mean, she has persisted with me. She's fallen on her hands and knees. She's calling me Lord, Son of David. She won't let me go. She's engaging. She's debating. I mean, she's doing everything she can to help me to want to perform this miracle. And the heart of Jesus was moved. Now, why would Jesus respond in such an unusual way? Because when you read this story, it's certainly not the first response we would associate with Jesus Christ. You know, normally we think Jesus is going to reach out and hug somebody and heal them and do whatever. Why would Jesus give the woman the silent treatment and then tell her no and then debate with her a little bit? I mean, why would Jesus do that? Jesus was responding this way because he wanted to draw the faith out of this woman. You see, faith never grows until it's challenged. And this is often the teaching pattern that Jesus used when he engaged people, like this Syrophoenician woman. He would engage them. He would kind of play the devil's advocate a little bit. He would act like he isn't that interesting, not because he wasn't, because he wanted to see the sincerity of this woman's faith. And the woman passed the test, didn't she? Pretty amazing. So why would Jesus blow this woman off? Well, because faith never grows until it's challenged. Jesus didn't say what he said to her to put her down, but it was to draw out her faith. So Jesus is drawing out this faith. He's challenging her. He's seeing how authentic, how passionate, how real that this faith that she had really, really was. And Jesus was the master teacher, and he often did this by challenging them. He did the same type of thing with the rich young ruler and others in the scripture, where he challenged them when they came and made requests or dialogued with him. When you pray about things over a period of time, here's the great thing that happens. You get convicted about something. You know, you start to pray about something maybe one or two times, and you're kind of like, okay, God, you know, you're talking to the Lord. But then you start praying about it for several months or maybe several years, and then what begins to happen? You begin to get convicted. Then you begin to sense the Lord's leadership. Then you get really passionate about it. Then you start thinking about it. But sometimes there's things we pray about just one or two times and we forget about them, and that is reflective of our seriousness and our passion as well. So if we really want to see God do something in our lives and we really believe that it is the will of God, and that door's not opening, or that change isn't happening, or that opportunity is not making itself available, then what we need to do is to respond by just continuing to ask. Continue to ask. We need to keep asking even when God seems silent. We have to refuse to quit. And that's exactly what this woman did, this Syrophoenician woman with this daughter who was possessed by a demon. She refused to quit. She kept on asking. Now, in addition to her asking, she did another thing. What did she do? She was asking, but she was also seeking. And when we continue to seek, what we do is we begin to put action to our requests. Now, asking is important. And that's the first part. But once we begin to ask, then we need to do something. And this woman's solution was, I am going to find Jesus. Jesus was trying to hide out. He was trying to catch his breath. He was trying to get some rest and relaxation. And yet this woman, she had found Jesus, and she was not going to let him go. And so she was asking, but she was also seeking, and her seeking led her to confront Jesus and to have this conversation with him. This mother was praying and acting at the same time. Her faith led her to respond. In verse 24 and 25, Jesus left that place, and he went to the vicinity of Tyre, and he entered a house, and he did not want anybody to know it, and yet he could not keep his presence a secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. Jesus is trying to hide out. This woman had been spying out. She had been listening to some of the chatter on the street. She figured out where he was, and she went after him. And she thought, you know, I don't even care if Jesus is taking a day off. I don't care where he is. I am going to go find him. And she did. See, Jesus was not expecting this, but he was politely moved by the genuineness of her asking and or her seeking. She refused to quit. She refused to stop. She was not going to let the fact that Jesus was hiding out in this house to be a barrier from getting what she believed needed to happen in the life of her daughter. You know, a friend of our family, when I was growing up as a kid, had some teenagers that were a few years older than me. And I always loved their daughter and son. These were my parents' closest friends growing up. And I loved the son because he would always give me like his hand-me-down clothes, you know. And his clothes like that were like out of style for him were way cooler than any of the clothes that I ever got. So he was always giving me stuff. And they were just the coolest teenagers. And I loved to hang out with them because they were like 5, 6 years older than me. And I just thought they hung the moon. Well, the daughter was really rebellious. I mean, she wanted to do the exact opposite of everything that her parents wanted her to do. If her parents said, hey, I want you to go to the student ministry on Wednesday night, she's like, no way, I'm never going to the student ministry. And if her parents said, hey, we like your hair brown, she would go dye it, you know, blonde with red stripes in it. I mean, she was constantly trying to push the envelope and to do everything she could to rock the boat with her Christian parents. And in fact, in the early 80s, she got her nose pierced and her ear pierced up here. And the only people in the 80s that got their nose pierced were like people from India, okay? And her parents just freaked out. I mean, that was a huge, huge deal. And she worked at this wild clothing store, and she always had wild clothes, and she loved wild music. I mean, she was just a rebellious teenager. And she wanted to do the opposite of everything that her parents wanted her to do. Well, her parents were very committed people to the Lord, and they continued to pray for her. And I remember a few years ago that I was talking with my family about her, and my mom informed me that she's, you know, like this really committed Christian parent. She goes to church every Sunday. They're very involved in her church. She has a Christian husband. You know, their kids are involved in Bible study and all kinds of activities at church, and all of this stuff that was totally the opposite of what we would have expected, you know, for her to turn out and to be like in light of her teenage years. And you know what I really believe the difference was? Her parents kept praying. They kept seeking after the Lord. They kept talking to the Lord. And what an inspiration that is for us. I know many of us right now have kids that we're concerned about. Maybe you have teenagers. Maybe you even have kids in elementary school that you're concerned about. Listen, the greatest thing you can do for your kids is to be somebody that's continuing to seek the Lord on behalf of your kids. It's a powerful thing. That's what this mother was doing. Her daughter had a need. The mother was trying to meet it. And you know what? She realized that this daughter's need was not something just on the surface. It was not something like, oh, she needs to make better grades at school, or I wish she wouldn't hang around with those friends. No, she had a deep spiritual problem. And maybe it is in the lives of our kids. Maybe the problem that they're having is a deep spiritual problem with God. Sometimes we just think it's on the surface, you know, just kind of this kind of stuff. But listen, what if your son or your daughter needs to know the Lord? Maybe your son or daughter's never committed their lives to Jesus Christ before. And that really is the foundation. Maybe there's a spiritual problem. And you know, as a parent, we need to be concerned about the spiritual life of our kids more than we need to be concerned about anything else. Now, we all want our kids to make good grades, and we all want them to do well in school and work hard and, you know, have good ethics and all that kind of stuff. But listen, all that begins in the spiritual life and in that connection with Jesus Christ. And so that's really the foundation. Seeking the will of God for our kids involves more than helping them do things on the surface, but it requires us to continue to pray for them and to guide and direct them in ways that point them to the Lord. We need to look below the surface. You know, good kids still do bad things. And so you may think, well, man, my kids are pretty good. You know, they stay out of trouble. They don't, you know, they haven't been arrested or whatever. Well, you know what? You still need to be praying for your kids, because good kids do bad things sometimes. And good kids get into stuff that doesn't honor the Lord. So we just, as a parent, the greatest gift that we can give our kids is to continue to pray for them. And even if you have children that are adults, you know, we never get to the point where we're old enough where our kids don't need our prayers, where our kids don't need our spiritual support and direction. And so this woman realized her daughter had a spiritual need, and she was going to try to do everything she could to meet it. You're here today because somebody prayed for you. Most of us in this room today, you have a relative, a grandmother, a mom, a dad. Somebody prayed for you, and that's why you're here today. And now your challenge is to pass that on to the next generation. And if you aren't here because somebody prayed for you and directed you spiritually, now you have the opportunity to give back to your children, to your family, what you never had. What a great opportunity. What an amazing opportunity that is. This mother was going to make sure that her daughter had what she needed. I love this quote. It says, "Our kids can escape our presence, but they cannot escape our prayers." Our kids can escape our presence, but they cannot escape our prayers. And this mother sought Jesus, and she kept seeking, and she kept asking, but she also kept believing. She refused to quit. She refused to quit. And faith is believing and trusting in God when it doesn't even make sense. In the darkest days of your life, you have to know that God loves you. You know, it kind of reminds me of a Christian song that they play on the radio sometime. I'm not even sure the name of it, but I love this song. It says, I've got a couple of dents in my fender. I've got a couple of rips in my jeans. Have you guys ever heard that song? It's a great song, isn't it? That's the life of faith. The life of faith is you got some dents in your fender and you got some rips in your jeans. That's when you're following the Lord. And that's what keeping on and refusing to quit and to keep believing is really all about. Look at verse 28. Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Now, Jesus only used this term, great faith, two times in the New Testament. One in Matthew chapter 8, when the centurion came to Jesus and asked Jesus to heal his servant. And interestingly enough, the servant wasn't even with the centurion, and Jesus healed him. He did kind of like a long distance, you know, reach out and touch someone type healing. And Jesus used this word, great faith. He uses the same word here in Matthew 15, talking to this mother, great faith. Only two times. Interestingly enough, it wasn't the Jews that Jesus talked about great faith with. It was the Gentiles. It was the non-believers. It was the pagans. And yet they had great faith. And Jesus healed this daughter, and she wasn't even there. When I think about this text, and I certainly think about Mother's Day, I think about the fact that Gina and I prayed for somewhere between 7 and 8 years to have our first child. And I got to be honest with you guys, we didn't even like Mother's Day, you know, during that time. You know, that's hard to get up and preach and be excited about Mother's Day and to have that going on in your life. That is so hard. Now, we were excited for our friends, and we loved that many of our friends had children, and you know, and that was great, but we hated going to church on Mother's Day because it reminded us of our miscarriage, and it reminded us of all the fertility problems that we had had, and over and over and over again. And you know what? If you're there today, and that's the chapter of life that you're in, I want to encourage you because you know what? It's never over. And if you keep praying, and you keep seeking, and you keep believing God, God will do great things in your life. I really believe that. I always sensed that we would have children. I just kind of believed that. I'm not really sure why. I mean, God never spoke to me like in an audible voice. I always believed that we would have children. I just didn't know the timing of it. But we continued to pray about it over all those years, and that's a long time, you know? And the doctors were telling us all kinds of weird stuff like, you know, you're going to be too old, and, you know, you're going to have all this high-risk pregnancy because you're going to be so old when you're having kids and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, it just wasn't true. We had Zane, and then right back to back, we had Bryn right after that. And no problems. Everything went fine. Just keep praying, and you keep believing God for great things in your life, and don't give up, and refuse to quit. And I believe God will do some amazing things in your life, whatever you're facing, whether the battles that you're facing today are in parenting, whether it's with your marriage or your family or your finances or whatever you're facing today, never give up. Don't do it. This mother had a faith that would not let go. And Christ has given us an example about how to have a tenacious faith as well. Now, this mother never came demanding that Jesus heal him. I mean, you know, while we need to be tenacious and we need to be full of faith, we never want to try to demand things of the Lord. It's a little different. God responds to humility and to humbleness and gentleness and sensitivity. Certainly, we always want to be respectful. We understand God is sovereign over the universe, not us. And by the way, some of the things I have prayed and asked God to do a lot, I'm really glad He didn't do. You know, maybe you've prayed about some of those things and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I prayed about that. You know, God, thank you for sparing me, you know. But respond in humility. We're never trying to tell God what to do. Ultimately, God is sovereign, not us. God knows more what we need than we do. But as we do so, we want to refuse to quit. And some of us may be saying, well, I don't want to keep asking God. I just want God to make my problems go away. You know what? God is in the business of growing your faith. That's what God is all about. He wants to see your faith go from here to here. And in order for your faith to grow, you got to be stretched. You got to be challenged. You got to be pressed. So now this is your chance to step to the plate and show God the level of sincerity and commitment that you have to whatever it is that you believe that He's put in your heart. And And sometimes I catch myself doing this in prayer. I say, you know, God, well, you know, I'm like giving God my resume. You know, God, I did this and I did that, and I'm this kind of husband, I'm this kind of dad, and I help old ladies across the street. So, you know, God, you need to respond accordingly. And maybe you've done that before. You know, you kind of list out everything you've done, and you're like, God, see, aren't you impressed with everything I've done? That's really not what prayer is about. Prayer is about us being consistent and being totally dependent upon God, not trying to impress Him with all of our credentials and our self-righteousness and all that kind of stuff. But it's a humility where we come to the Lord and we acknowledge and we realize we are totally dependent upon Him and His grace and mercy. Does God seem like He's silent to you? Well, keep asking Him anyway. You know, it's not over. Don't give up. Do others try to discourage you or put you down? Well, they're not your hope. Jesus is. So don't worry about those other people. Don't worry about what they say. Keep asking for God's help. Do you feel unworthy? Well, welcome to the club. We all are in some way. Don't worry about that. But even if all we get is the crumbs from His table, the crumbs from His table are more than enough. And let's take our eyes off of ourselves and put them on Jesus and continue to pray and continue to ask and continue to seek and just continue to believe God for great things. I love Matthew 17, 20. It says, I tell you the truth, if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. The life of faith is hard, and the tests are challenging, but the victory is great. So God wants us to keep asking, keep seeking, and to keep believing for Him to do great things in our lives. He wants us to refuse to quit. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank You today for the example of a tenacious faith, one that will not quit. God, we desire to have that in our own lives. Lord, I pray for every person that's discouraged here today that You'd fill them with hope and with faith, with confidence in You, and pray You do amazing things in their lives today. I pray every person here today would just be strengthened and encouraged by Your presence and Your goodness and grace. And now, Lord, help us to walk with You each day, regardless of our circumstances and what's going on. I pray that we would be the kind of people that would keep seeking, keep asking, and keep believing. And Lord, I pray that in doing so, we would follow You with total commitment and just total abandonment of ourselves as we walk with You. We pray this in Jesus' name.